This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
How you doing? This is indeed Sully and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. Sully and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios, Danny via Skype from the Roger Dorn Studios. It is week 3 in the NFL season and a few shockers through the start, or the first couple of weeks of the season, I don't know, let's see. Cincinnati crap in the bed, the Giants crap in the bed, the Jets defense crap in the bed. Whole lot of crap flying everywhere in the NFL, and some of this was foreseeable, some of it wasn't. Damn, you got anything to follow up with that?
I have absolutely nothing to follow. I was just watching a movie, Ali, that was a Will Smith movie when he's playing Muhammad Ali, and he was just banging the bongos saying the champ is here. So, yeah, he's awesome.
Yes, but he is.
What's up?
I said, yes, he is, but the two things that aren't awesome are the New York Giants offense and the New York Jets defense. What do you want to start with?
Well, which dumpster fire is less burnt?
Less burnt? Well, it's about even at this point because the Giants have now gone 8 straight games without hitting, without scoring 20 points in a game.
Well, that's something we'll talk, Matt, we're going to talk about this season, not back to last season. I know look at sets in the past, but let's talk about the now, all right?
Yeah, the now is they suck.
Yes, the Giants offense in general right now is they're in trouble. We said last week that we thought they were going to bounce back against the Lions and showed that they're still incompetent. Ben McAdoo, I have no idea what he's doing. I don't think he should be the head coach. I don't think he should be the head coach of the Giants. I thought they should have got someone new when they were originally gonna announced that Coughlin was gonna retire, quote unquote. The offensive line is still crap. Still crap.
Tell us how you really feel about that Giants offensive line.
It's crap.
That's putting it nicely. This is a PG show, so...
Made the list!
I'll say it like that. I can say that, it's horrible. Last night when, actually, I was watching some of the game because I was bored. I was watching some of the game, and when Eli Manning made that pass to Eric Ingram, or whatever the hell his name is, I really thought the Giants offense was going to start clicking. Like, okay, that's the play you need to get the offense clicking, because people thought that Ingram was going to be one of the key components of this offense, and it turned out it was just a fluke. And the Giants can't score against the Lions, which, wow, that's sad. Continue.
at least Eric Ingram wasn't – he was dumb enough when he scored the touchdown. That's why he got in trouble with the NFL for excessive celebration for grabbing his junk. That's why he got flagged.
Sure he wasn't just fixing his cup?
I'm sure he wasn't just fixing his cup.
He was just fixing his cup? He's like, oh, man, what the hell? Ironically, he's after a touchdown.
Yeah. No, but it's right. Well, hey, I've given the NFL credit for this, for actually allowing the players to come up with some, inventive celebrations, but yeah, I can understand Eric Ingram's excited about scoring not only his first career touchdown, but the first touchdown that the Giants have scored all year, at least offensively. But that's a little bit much. I mean, and hell, I was listening to talk radio today. Some people were now questioning the competence of Eli Manning. He did have an okay day. He went 22 of 32, 239 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. But again, at the same time, and I made this argument last week, and I'll make it again now. Doesn't matter how good a quarterback is. You could be Eli Manning. You could be Tom Brady. If you don't have an offensive line to protect you, what good is it going to do you?
Very true. Like you just said, the offensive line is still crap.
Why Eric Flowers is still playing left tackle is beyond me. How that man still has a job in the NFL is beyond me at this point. The guy's...
It's going to be interesting what they do against the Eagles next week. The Giants need this win. They need to win. If they don't win, they're going to be 0-3 in that division, and that division could be one of the hardest divisions. It's not shown right now that it's going to be one of the hardest divisions, but give it time. The Cowboys are going to start clicking. I think the Eagles are going to be a sleeper this year. You never know, the High Chief Snyders could be a sleeper this year. And then the Giants, who I originally picked to win the division.
And I had them getting in as a wildcard team. And this is all related to each other. It goes to show how efficient running games can be in the NFL. And I know it's a pass-happy league, but you need to have a running game to be effective. One example here's the thing, though. I mean, this is a perfect polar opposite of how a running game can help, right? The Dallas Cowboys got stampeded by the Broncos and a huge win by Denver. Granted, that game was delayed an hour by a lightning storm. But... Wait, say that again?
You said it got stampeded by the Broncos.
No pun intended. Ezekiel Elliott, 6 carries for 8 yards. Tom Brady had more rushing yards than Ezekiel Elliott. Dallas got their heads kicked in by Denver. Washington.
The Broncos have a better defense than New Orleans Saints. I think the Saints have probably the worst defense in all the NFL. They haven't had a good defense since they tried to murder Brett Favre in the championship game, which they succeeded.
Yep. Back to my original point with the running game, Ezekiel Elliott had 8 rushing yards against Denver. Meanwhile, Washington had 239 yards rushing as a team against what is supposedly one of the better rush defenses in the NFL and the Los Angeles Rams. The Redskins came away with a 27-20 win. Now, the Giants, and this is back to the original point with the G-men, if the running game doesn't do squat, that's going to put only greater pressure on Eli Manning. And the rushing numbers for the Giants: Shane Vereen, 6 carries, 28 yards. Darkwa, 3 carries, 17 yards. Perkins, 7 carries, 10 yards. Sterling Shepard, 2 carries, 7 yards. What does that equate to? No running attack.
It's embarrassing. They haven't had a competent running game since the last time they won the Super Bowl. And I believe they had, I don't know if Brandon Jacobs is still on the team. I don't remember who the running backs were.
I almost want to say it was Bradshaw and Jenkins.
Yes.
It was Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs. That was a running tandem, that last Super Bowl win.
Okay. Giants need help. Even with Odell last night, I don't think he's still 100% healthy. And then with Brandon Marshall, what the hell is going on with him and Eli Manning? I wish I knew, but because he's on one of my fantasy teams. But they need to do something. Because Brandon Marshall, we saw on the Jets and throughout his entire NFL career, he can be a game changer. Yes, he hasn't won a title. We all know that. He's been on incompetent teams. But we know he has the talent. We know that he can be a game changer. And last night just showed how off him and Eli Manning are. I don't know if it's just the play calling. I don't know if they just don't like each other.
I don't think it's that.
Yeah, but the thing is, they need to do something now, or they're going to be doomed.
Well, four catches for 36 yards for the first game of the year for Odell. And yeah. Marshall had 1 catch for 17 yards. But the biggest thing that people were talking about this morning was the drop pass that he had in the fourth quarter. But again, that's looming even larger. Now, there was such a small window of opportunity for the Giants receivers to make a big play because Eli's getting pressured as much as he is because the offensive line sucks. And now that type of a drop looms even larger. The Giants can't be dropping passes on Eli Manning. They can't do it, especially now because they have no line and they have no running game. So there's even greater pressure on the Giants already. And oh, by the way, it's worth noting that the Giants have now started Four out of the last 5 years, they've started the year off 0-2. And since this is the 10-year anniversary of David Tyree's helmet catch, sorry, Danny, to refresh everybody's memory, just in case you might have forgotten, the Giants started that year 0-2. Those two games were losses in the division. They lost to Philly and Washington in the first 2 weeks in 2007. And now it's losses to Dallas and Detroit. So there is still that level of hope and optimism for the Giants that they could potentially turn this thing around. But with how good the NFC is as a whole, looking at all four divisions, it doesn't look too good for the Giants to not only potentially even sniff the Super Bowl, but if they want to even make the playoffs. They need to get this thing figured out, like, now.
Two things. One, don't ever mention that catch or name to me ever again.
Sorry.
Two, I think the Giants, here's the thing, if they don't win next week, they're screwed. All right? They're going to already have two losses within the division. And the Giants, like I said, I think if they lose next weekend, if they once again produce a low-scoring game, they need to revamp their offense, fire their offense coordinator, or fire Ben McAdoo, because they need to do something ASAP or they are screwed. And Eli Manning, he needs to stop derping on the field.
Wait, needs to stop doing what?
Derping.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that, but the thing is, I don't think Mike Sullivan's going to go anywhere. He's the offensive coordinator for the Giants, if you didn't know his name.
Mr. Sullivan!
Yeah, I don't think Mike Sullivan's going to go anywhere.
And where is that from? Sullivan, hi!
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
You gotta be kidding me.
I don't know.
Childhood movie. You never... Come on.
I'm drawing a blank here.
Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's
right. Remember two idiot monsters, like, oh, I'm Mr. Solomon.
Yeah, the two custodian workers. Yes.
Jeff, have you seen Monsters, Inc.?
He's nodding his head, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So he has seen it. All right.
Just okay.
Yeah.
The Giants suck.
Yeah. Could you possibly see, I want your take on this, could you possibly see Ben McAdoo getting fired?
Yes.
Okay. Do they wait till the end of the season, or do they do it sooner than that if things start going south?
If they start the season 0-4, fire him.
Yeah, I can't see him lasting a month if they go 0-4. I can't.
If they go 0-5, then they're done. They're not making the playoffs. They need to win. I think they need to win the next two games. The Eagles are going to be tough. Carson Wentz is looking like a real sleeper right now. And even though they lost against the Chiefs, Carson Wentz played a good game. Chiefs are just a powerhouse right now, I think. And the Giants right now are just looking that they're just relying on their stellar defense. You can win games with your defense, but it just shows that you need a good offense and a competent. Let me rephrase that. You need a competent offense and a great defense to win games. All
and
right,
they're kind of connected to each other, because without that competent offense, the defense is on the field a lot longer than they should be, and they're making more and more mistakes and getting torched more.
I'll give you a good example, right?
Okay.
I'm not ripping on the Jets, but the Jets, when they made it to two straight AFC championships, they had great defenses, no doubt about it. But also, they had competent offense. They had a powerful running game. Mark Sanchez did not make mistakes. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, he didn't make them all that often passing the ball.
Exactly. All right? And
they had talent at wide receiver.
Exactly. And they had, like I said, a 1-2 running backs. They had Thomas Jones and LaDainian Tomlinson, and they had
Sean Green too.
Exactly. All right. If the Giants can get their offense back clicking, they can be a real dangerous threat in the NFC. If they don't, they are screwed. All right. That's I gotta say. That's the only thing I have to say about that.
All right. And you want to talk about screwed, or I should say screwed up? How about the New York Jets? They are just as bad. And here's the thing. the offense has actually been outplaying the defense, which if you had asked any Jets fan before the season even remotely started, they would have said that would have been the complete opposite. But no, the defense has looked like Swiss cheese, and Josh McCown, I can't believe I'm saying this, who's now won only two starts in his last 23 games. Yes, he's 2-21 in his last 23 starts. That's your starting quarterback, Jet fans. Where's Bryce Petty when you need him? Anyway, I will give McCown credit, though. Him and Javon Kurse have been pulling together a pretty nice 1-2 punch. They've done a good job clicking together. Kurse had like 59 yards and scored both touchdowns. And the Jets almost, well, actually, no. I can't even say that with a straight face. The Jets almost showing up against the Raiders. They got lit up like a Christmas tree. They were in the game up until about the...
Do you hear what I'm playing?
No, I heard it was static.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, yeah, car crash. There you go.
The Jets are a car crash. All right?
Yes, they are.
And not just one car crash and not a fender bender. I'm talking about a multi-car crash where bodies go flying and car parts go into convenience stores.
Yep.
Okay?
There's
nothing else I can say about the Jets. We shouldn't be talking about them. The next time we should be talking about them is once the Cleveland Browns and the Jets meet up and we compare both teams and we do a full-on analysis of every man on that on each other's roster, all right?
So we're going to spend an hour comparing the 53-man rosters to the Jets and the Browns.
Jeff, if you give me the thumbs up.
Do we have an answer, Jeff? He's nodding yes. We have proof. He actually nodded yes. I'm not kidding.
Perfect. Okay. What are they facing? I have no idea. But once they face off, we are going to have an hour-long show, and we are going to... Oh, my God.
Why? I was going to run through with that.
All right. After thinking about it, like, what have I done?
So it's the first full week of October for the show that would be leading into Sunday, October the 8th, Jets and Browns in Cleveland at 1 o'clock. That's
really
October
8th,
though.
I really want to go to that game, but at the same time, I don't want to drive over to Cleveland, so well, I might just go... What?
I was going to say, we've done that before.
Yeah, I know, but we did on a vacation. This would be a week trip.
Yeah.
But whatever, I'll just go to Jackson versus New York in New York, so I'll be happy.
Bortles Mania, baby!
Poor God.
Yeah, but anyway, so I almost feel bad, but we have to. I almost don't want to at this point, but I don't have a choice. McCown didn't play too bad. He went 17-25 for 166 and a pair of touchdowns, both to Kurse.
You still talking about...
Yes, I want to be able... I gotta extend the talk out a little bit.
The Jets.
The Jets were in this game right until that muffed punt at the end of the half that led to... Because it was a 4-point game at that time. It was 14-10 Raiders. The Jets somewhat looked to be in this football game because they were down 14-0. Fought back into the game. They screwed up the punt at the end of the first half. It led to an Oakland touchdown. It was 20-10 at halftime. Oakland ran away with it. Pun intended. Oakland literally ran away with that game. It was almost embarrassing to watch that in the second half. Crabtree had 3 touchdowns all thrown to him by Derek Carr. Three of the 4 running backs had a touchdown. And Marshawn Lynch, not only did he go beast mode on the Jets defense, but actually broke out impressive dance moves. And you know what? I give credit to Marshawn Lynch for doing that.
Yeah, you give him credit. Dude, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I know.
I can't wait to see Deshaun Kizer start doing breakdance moves on the sideline when it's 45-0 Cleveland.
Well, we still have the bet going on that, I can't see it happen. They're not going to score 45 points on a Jet. Come on.
I know, they're going to score like 60.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
That's whatever you think, Matt.
Yeah. Hey, I've won 3 out of the 4 bets I've made with you. I'm going to go 4-for-5.
Okay. We're going to go back on this, all right? Hold on. I almost won that Yankee bet from last season where I shouldn't have been coming close. You know that.
Yeah.
All right? The one I actually won, I should have won week 2. It took me to week 15 to win the damn bet.
It took you until the last game of the season. And all
no,
because
second to last game.
No, it was last game of the year against the Chargers. It was the last game of the year against the Chargers.
It was on Christmas Eve, right?
Hold on, I'm double checking.
It might have been the second to last week. It took me almost late last season to finally win. All right. I don't remember the other bets that you won.
Let's see. The three bets we made last year were the Yankees, the Cubs. It was the Cubs against the field, and then the Browns bet.
Yeah, the Cubs against the field. I needed one more win, and then they blew it.
Yeah. And Danny, you were right. It was second to last game of the year against the Chargers. They lost to Pittsburgh in overtime the final day of the season, New Year's Day. You were right.
Yep. I was so happy.
I know.
I jumped on my chair and screamed, thank you, God.
Yeah, then you almost pulled off a second win the next week. Well, they did. Oh, please. I'll never forget this. This was, the hell was it? It was week three against Miami. You almost won the bet then, too.
What, the Browns?
Yeah. The Browns almost
won. Missed the field goal.
Yeah. They missed the field goal right at the end of regulation, and Miami won it in overtime.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I
threw something to the TV. I was so pissed.
Well, no, that was also the week we made the bet.
Yeah, I know. I thought I was going to win like that. No, took me almost 2 months to win.
Yeah, there was the week we made the bet, and I'm watching at my house, and when I realized they missed the kick, I started running around my... I literally ran around my living room in circles celebrating. Because I knew I'd survive. I survived on the skin of my teeth on that bet for that week anyway.
Thing is, the Browns will win a game this year. I don't think they're that bad.
No.
I think they're going to beat the Jets, though, so... That's why this is going to be a one-time bet, a one-game bet.
I know. So, and you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that one-game bet this year. That works perfectly for me. But, yeah. I'm looking at this just for me now. Who else the Browns play the rest of the way besides the Jets? See if they have a chance at anything. Let's see. Colts, Bengals, Jets, Texans, Titans, Vikings, bye week, Lions, Jags, Bengals, Chargers, Packers, Ravens, Bears, and Steelers. They might get two wins if they're lucky.
I think they're going to get at least nine.
Nine?
Jeff, what do you think?
Wins?
Yes. Wait, nine what?
No, I was making sure you guys are talking about wins.
Yes.
I'm talking about wins. I don't know what the hell Matt's talking about.
This season?
Yeah, this season. The Browns will be lucky if they win two games.
I think they'll beat the Bengals twice.
With how bad the Bengals are.
Bengals suck.
Yeah. The Bengals have 9 points, and they've already fired their offensive coordinator. And, oh, yeah. Do you know the touchdown and interception totals for Andy Dalton this year?
Horrible, right?
0 touchdowns, 4 picks in 2 games.
Ew.
Yeah. Is that bad? It's not good. 0-4 for Andy Dalton this year on touchdowns and interceptions. And the Bengals I actually had as a playoff team. I had them winning one of the wild card spots. Well, it doesn't look too good right now. I mean, how could Cincinnati crap the bed this horribly this year? It's almost mind-numbing. And they play the Browns in 2 weeks.
It's bound to happen because Marvin Lewis is one of the most incompetent head coaches I've ever seen in my entire life, okay? I know how I mentioned Mike Smith, but here's the thing about Mike Smith. He's no longer a head coach. Someone actually grew a set of balls and fired him, okay? The problem with Marvin Lewis, he's been the head coach of Cincinnati since I think Carson Palmer has been was the quarterback for Cincinnati.
He was.
Back in like 2000. Let me talk! I take this personally, man, all right? So... Stay in your lane. Marvin Lewis should have been fired after that amazing debacle of a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers 2 seasons ago. It showed that, one, he has horrible play calling skills, two, that none of his players can show up in the clutch, and three, he has no control of his players because his players are a bunch of thugs who belong in a goddamn prison, all right? And then for some reason, they reward the players with contract extensions. Meanwhile, one of the players, Vontae Burt, whatever the hell his name is, tries to kill people on the field. And then they got Adam Pac-Man Jones, who acts like an ass clown every now and then, okay? Marvin Lewis should have been fired a long time ago. I don't know why he's not getting fired yet. If the Bengals suck this year, which so far... it's going well right now for them. They're starting 0-2, and Dalton looks like crap. They will finally, I hope, they fire Marvin Lewis. If they don't, it would just add another layer to the cake of how funny the Cincinnati Bengals have been as a franchise.
All right, then I'm going to start off my best and worst with the Bengals for this week. The Bengals are one of my two worst for this week for the fact that they've scored 9 points total this year. They've been outscored 33-9 through the first two games of the NFL season. How Marvin, and I agree with everything you said, Danny. It's amazing Marvin Lewis still has a job. It's even more amazing that Vontaze Burfict is still allowed to be playing in the NFL and was given a damn contract extension for all his thuggery. Why he has a job in the NFL is beyond me. This, I think, is karma slapping the Cincinnati Bengals right in the face, because you reward a guy like Vontaze Burfict with a 5-year, with a contract extension forever the hell long it was. I think it was like a 5-year extension. You give Vontaze Burfict, of all freaking people, a 5-year extension with all the stuff that stupid idiot has done. You deserve exactly what you're getting right now. The Bengals are one of my worst through the first 2 weeks of the season. My other worst for week two in the NFL has got to go to Ezekiel Elliott for the stuff I mentioned earlier. But if you didn't hear it, he had 6 carries for 8 rushing yards and the whooping that the Denver Broncos put on the Dallas Cowboys. So for his pitiful performance, Ezekiel Elliott is one of my worst for week two in the NFL season. My best, I'm going to stick with that game. One of them's got to go to the Denver Broncos for hanging 47 points on the Dallas Cowboys, who's supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFC. And there's still plenty of time to determine that. We're only in week two of the season. But I got to give the Broncos credit where it's due. Trevor Siemian threw for 4 touchdowns this week against Dallas after an hour-long weather delay in Denver for thunder and lightning storms. Still, Denver walked away with the win. The other guy who's got to get it is Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. Led all NFL passes with over 400 yards passing, threw for 4 touchdowns, and was able to catch the New Orleans Saints not once but twice in penalty calls that were overturned because Brady's that good. He caught them with 12 men on the field when he got picked off late in the ballgame, and on a offensive pass interference call on Chris Hogan, Brady was able to convince the refs, and he was right in this regards, to overturn the call. Plus, throwing for the 4 touchdowns and over 400 yards, and the Patriots went over the New Orleans Saints. That is why Tom Brady is one of my best performers for this week. Danny, what do you got?
Alrighty, so this might be out of the ordinary, but I'm going to give one of my best performances to actually the San Francisco 49ers, okay?
Okay.
Why is that? They didn't lose, but at the same time, they kept with the Seattle Seahawks, which will segue into one of my worst because I'll explain that later. So I give the 49ers credit for keeping up pace with the Seattle Seahawks and their quote-unquote high-octane offense, okay? We'll discuss that in my worst. My other best goes to the Kansas City Chiefs and Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce. Why? It proved that Kareem Hunt is not a joke. Many people thought after that first half he had against the Eagles that he was done. And then he just broke out of everything, and he had a great game. And I believe he had like a long touchdown. I'm not too sure. But he broke out of the gates and had a great game for him and Chiefs. Travis Kelce went off the wall against the Eagles, and Alex Smith proved that he can be he's a good quarterback, and he's proven that he can still play in the NFL, because this is all likely his last year as a Chief, because he got the other QB who they drafted. So, Niners and Chiefs, my two best of the week. Worse, obviously, the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, they did win, but they have problems also. Russell Wilson, I don't know what's up with him right now. He's supposed to be healthy, but the offense is clicking. They have no run game. They haven't had a run game since Marshawn Lynch. And I don't know what the hell they're doing. Okay? And then my other best, I am not going to say the Patriots, because I think we all expected the Patriots to kick some ass. I would give my best to, I'll give it to the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons, they opened up a brand new stadium. It's really nice if you guys haven't seen it. And they have good prices. So, yay for them. They proved that last week when they almost lost against the Bears wasn't was just a Super Bowl losing hangover, I guess. The Packers came in strong with a good offense. Yes, they lost Jordy Nelson on injury, but the Falcons, they had a great running attack with Freeman, and then Matt Ryan just took over for that game. So Falcons and what are the other ones? I made a mistake, did I?
On what?
I said three best teams, right?
You said San Francisco as one of your best just to, as they kept up with Seattle and then Atlanta. Because you said Seattle was the worst.
Did I say another worst team or no?
No. Well, actually, I got one for you.
No, I think you said the Bengals. No.
No, that was me.
Yeah, that was
me. No, you. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but no, do you want to talk about, like, crappy numbers? I got crappy numbers for you. How about the fact that both the Rams and Chargers combined were outdrawn by USC Texas Saturday night?
Well, you see that football game, but it was really good.
No, unfortunately, I missed the game because I was off covering another college football game here on the island. But, yeah, the Chargers drew, I think, barely over 27,000. The Rams drew about 55,000. USC Texas drew over 84,000 people for that game Saturday night at USC. And, no, go ahead.
That's baseball, Susan.
Yeah. Oh, did you see how much parking prices were for San Diego?
No.
All right, well, sorry, for the Los Angeles Chargers. Able to park your car at a Chargers game, $100.
That's insane.
Yeah, it actually happened. They charged $100 for you to be able to park your car at a Chargers game. Meanwhile, it would cost you $12 to park your car in Atlanta at the Falcons' new stadium Saturday night. I mean, not Saturday night, Sunday night.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good way to be able to welcome yourself into the NFL with a new home.
Sorry, it just shows how much I don't care about... Oh my gosh, Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, I know. It was just announced that she was coming back tonight. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you can get parking your car for $12. And the Falcons outplay the Packers. Do you actually see what the stadium looked like?
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. And the halo effect they have with the LCD, the LED screens around the top of the arena is actually really, really gorgeous. It's fantastic looking.
Come on, Fantasy Flash.
Yeah, you want to get into it? All right, let's get into it. Time for the Flash.
Fantasy Flash!
All right, we are back this week with the Fantasy Flash. We're going into week 3 of the season in the Delaney League. And after my drubbing of Brendan week 1, I got my rear end handed to me by Danny in week 2. Danny beat me 189 to 159. King Arthur beat Harambe 184 to 115. Archie's Bunkers pulled out a 177-163 win over Howe. Teddy's Big Stick lost to the Edgar Allan Poe's 183 to 102. And Who Shot JR pulled out a 179 to 134 win over Reagan's running backs. Now, why haven't those other three people changed their freaking team names? Why? What's taking so long?
I cannot address that.
Why not?
I don't know. They just haven't.
They're getting lazy. But the biggest point differential was Edgar Allan Poe's over Teddy's Big Stick. It was an 80-point differential. Which was
Greg's team got shellacked.
Yeah, it was the largest margin of victory in week two. So the week three standings going into week three look like this. In the Homer Simpson division, it's the Toolman in first, followed by Who Shot JR, Edgar Allan Poe's, Reagan's running backs, and Teddy's Big Stick. And in the Al Bundy division, it's King Arthur, followed by the Addams Family, Archie's Bunker, Hal, and Harambe. And it's amazing. We got 4 2-2s, 2 1-1s, and 4 0-2s going into week 3. Top 8 get into the playoffs, Danny?
Yes.
All right. And I know it's way early to be thinking about it, but think there's a possibility of a rematch from a couple years ago, you versus me for the title? That can't happen. You're in the Homer division. I'm in the Al Bundy division. So it's possible.
It's very early to determine things.
Right.
So I am not going to say anything.
All right. So you're pleading the fifth. You're not talking?
Yes.
So I've been meaning to ask you this. So why are you so intent on giving me Christian McCaffrey? You've been trying to unload him to me for the last couple of weeks. Why?
I don't know. I don't think I thought he was going to break out last game. That didn't work out. I'm going to hold on to him, and hopefully it works. Because I need another wide receiver.
Well, is he?
And
is,
I'm in try-
again.
What's up?
No, go ahead.
No, it's just. I guess I'm impatient with my players, basically.
That's it's because you've been... Is it you really want to get rid of him that badly, or do you really want Todd Gurley from me that badly?
Both.
All right. So we've got entertaining matchups coming into week 3 of the season. Week 3 stands like this. We're going to have Reagan's running backs taking on Teddy's big stick. We've got Who Shot JR battling King Arthur. The Tool Man's going up against Edgar Allan Poe's. Harambee's facing off with Archie's Bunker, and Hal will go one-on-one with the Adams family in week 3 of the Delaney League. So, thoughts on the first 2 weeks, Danny?
I am surprised that Greg is 0-2. I am not surprised Brendan is 0-2.
Yeah.
I seriously think Brendan C. might not win a game all year.
So, Brendan's basically the Cleveland Browns. Is that it?
Yes. His team's in trouble.
Sorry, Bren.
Don't be.
Why shouldn't I be?
I've been trying to help him out with a trade, and he just wouldn't accept it.
Well, I think part of that might have to do with the preconceived notion of you being a swindler in this league. Again, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think that may be Brendan's line of thinking. I could be wrong.
Yeah, but Brendan at the same time is also shooting himself in the foot.
How?
He's not gonna win. That's basically it. He's not gonna win.
He's in last place with one of the lowest scoring teams in the league, and you would have thought that with some of the talent he has on his team, he might actually be doing something. I mean, he's got Jordy Nelson's hurt. He injured his quad in Atlanta. Randall Cobb's hurt. Jimmy Graham's hurt. Danny Amendola's hurt. He's got Eddie Lacy on the bench, but Lacy's been unproductive.
He's fat.
It's a good thing he's got Andy Dalton on the bench and Russell Wilson's his starter. He's got Adrian Peterson, and we talked about him last week, how unproductive he's been throughout this year. But then again, safest thing to say with this is, as far as AP is concerned, is that his style of running doesn't fit with the NFL anymore. It really doesn't.
Yeah, and Adrian Peterson is in a throwing. I don't know how to explain it.
A run and gun offense.
Yeah,
they're in a high powered, free wielding, free throwing offense, which is what's going to get Drew Brees eventually elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, and the only thing that's been bugging me about my team is Cameron Meredith of the Bears has been hurt all year, and I'm looking to finally. Possibly do something with him.
He's out for the season.
What else? Stephen Diggs has been in. Jonathan Stewart's been in. And I thought Stewart would have... Because Stewart and Doug Martin were the big reason why I snuck into the playoffs, I think like 3 years ago. I had the two of them as my running backs. Hasn't really worked out for either one of them. So, that's the beauty, though, of fantasy football. You never know what can happen week to week. Guys can get hot at the right time. Guys can choke at the wrong time. You never know. You got to be... If you want to find out the fun, though, you got to sign up for a football league. That's the best advice we can give you.
Basically. Are we done doing this? Because I can't think of anything else about fantasy football.
Yeah, we're done doing this. Jeff, do we have more time to kill before Pigskin? Okay. So before we get into our Pigskin picks, injury notes from around the NFL. I already mentioned Jordy Nelson was hurt. Andrew Luck has been ruled out for week 3. He's not going to play. Greg Olsen's done for a while with a broken foot. Vic Beasley's going to be out for a while with a hamstring injury. And Rob Gronkowski can never seem to stay healthy, can he?
It's not serious.
That's all you got is it's not serious?
It's not serious. That's what the injury said. It's not serious. He's probably going to play.
It is a good... Yeah, but as soon as anything even remotely injury-related is attached to Gronk, people automatically freak out.
I did freak out.
Well, who has him in our league? I don't remember now.
Yours truly.
Ah, sorry.
And I love Gronk, so.
I'm sure you do.
Yep. So, Jeff, are we ready to start this bitch up? Because I've been antsy right now to start pick 'em.
Do you want to do it, Jeff?
No, we got a few more minutes.
All right, well, I think another big reason why I think fantasy people freaked out with Gronk getting hurt, because even though Gronk missed time with getting hurt with the groin injury on Sunday, he still had the second highest receiving yard total of anybody in the NFL. 6 catches for 116 yards. The only guy who had a better day, J.J. Nelson of the Arizona Cardinals. 5 catches for 120 yards and a touchdown. Who? Seriously, I don't think most people had heard of J.J. Nelson going up to this week.
Is his name Jawana Nelson or no?
No, I don't think so.
What's his name?
I'm going to find out.
Josh Schuster? Sorry.
No. It's
Hama Jama Juice.
Jamarcus J.J. Nelson.
Jamarcus J.K. Rowling?
No, Jamarcus J.J. Nelson.
Yo, Wizard Nelson.
Yeah, in his NFL career through week two of this year, 55 catches, 1,030 yards, 11 touchdowns, and he's gotten 83 rushing yards. Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of, Matt?
What?
He used to be his wide receiver named Jerry Rice.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's see. Jerry Rice, all the way up here. J.J. Nelson, somewhere down below the 50 bags of crap. The 50 pounds of crap.
I seriously think J.J. Nelson could be the next coming of Calvin Johnson.
Okay, now you're just yanking my chain. Come on, Danny.
Who knew?
Then again, let's not forget, I'm the reason that Calvin Johnson's no longer in the NFL.
Yeah, you retired him.
Actually, no, Steve retired him.
You retired him, damn it.
How did I retire him if Steve's the one who had him?
You won a championship, and then he said, oh, Matt doesn't need me, I guess? Okay, I'm going to retire in the NFL.
And that's it. That's Danny's story, and he's sticking to it.
Yeah, basically. Jeff, are we ready yet? Love of God.
Come on. We got to stretch for 3 more minutes.
I can't think of anything.
All right. So... yeah, I'm one of those guys who likes reading into like the biggest surprises and disappointments through the first 2 weeks in the NFL. I'm a dork like that, I know. But for some stupid reason, I actually enjoy reading stuff like that. Let's see. So, 2 weeks into the season, you have your fair share of unbeatens. The Dolphins are 1-0, so they count as unbeaten. The AFC North looks like a decent division. Baltimore and Pittsburgh are unbeaten. Cincinnati and Cleveland are winless. The AFC West is incredibly tough. The Chargers are 0-2 and have a -5 in the point differential column. Everybody else in that AFC West, 2-0 and is in the plus in point differential. Chiefs, 2-0, plus 22 in points. Broncos, 2-0, plus 28 in points. But the Oakland Raiders are listed as second in that division, 2-0 with a point differential of plus 35, and they've scored 71 points. How the bloody hell are they a second-place team in the division? It is so screwed up the way the NFL does certain things. It really is.
I'm not answering. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Point differential in the NFL.
I don't look at point differentials. I look at who makes the playoffs, and then we talk from there about point differential. Okay.
All right, fine.
Way too early to determine who are the best teams in the NFL right now besides the Patriots.
Then if the Patriots are so great, why are they 1-1?
All right, you can use that argument. Man, the Detroit Lions are the best team in football? Even better. No, even better. Patriots are 1-1. You know who else is 1-1?
Who?
Jeff, answer that for me right now. Who else is 1-1?
Jacksonville.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you're saying they're on the same level as the Patriots, Matt?
Yes. And I'm not mad.
Moron.
Well, if you look at the numbers, they kind of match up.
I know, right?
They're only a +1 in point differential each.
Yeah, Bortles is wearing the same number Brady has rings.
Hey, 45 points for, 44 against for Jacksonville. They're 1-1. Patriots, 63 points for, 62 against.
Jeff, I guess I'm wrong. I guess in the power rankings, the Patriots should be below the Jaguars, son.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Oh, my God.
All right, so now to save Danny from this misery,
yeah,
let's pick football games for week three.
Let's go.
This is Sully and Steve on Sports. Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
So here we are, end of week two, getting into week three. And boy, we have quite some type of fantasy and pigskin pick'em, all that conundrum going on right now. And this week we have, to clarify some things quickly with the rules, the Price is Right rules is all based on if you predict over the final score. If your prediction is over the point differential, then you do not win.
All right,
so we just got to clarify that because we had a little issue going into the final determination, and we finally decided that way, yeah, that if you're the closest under the net, the point differential, then you win.
Yeah, which screwed me over in the Carolina-Buffalo game. I had it at 7, Carolina won by 6.
But, well, hold on. We'll get right into that.
All right.
All right, the breakdown score. So in the first game, we had a tie. Everyone picked the Patriots, but Matt and Steve both picked with Patriots winning by 14 points. Of course, we know that the Patriots won by a score of 36-20, which is 16 points. Yep. So they were both the closest. Now we have Carolina at Buffalo versus Carolina,
which is where the controversy came in.
Yes. It was 9-6 in favor of Carolina. Matt picked a point differential of 7. Dan picked a point differential of 3. I said that Matt won because it was like that, where
I had the closest by a point, but I was
thanks,
over.
Thanks, Matt.
Sure.
But, yeah, and then, like, the net was the point differential was over Dan, so I thought Dan lost. But after further review, that we reversed it, and it's a complete opposite. And Dan was not over. He was under. And that's where it goes with there. So Dan wins that game. Then you have the Jets at Oakland, and that was just a complete roughshod. Steve was the closest with 21 points by Oakland. So Steve got the win there. Miami, Steve also got that with 6 points right there. Yes?
Yeah, it was a 2-point game. Miami won by 2.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve was closest.
Yeah,
I
so Miami
by
won
7.
By 2. So, yes, even though Steve was over, he was the closest. And Danny only picked Atlanta against Green Bay, so Dan automatically wins. And Matt only picked Detroit, so he automatically wins as Detroit defeated the Giants. So here we go into week 3, and these are the games you have to predict. I will give Steve's predictions first since I Facebook messaged him them, and he responded.
All right, so what do we have?
We're going to start off, though, with the New York teams as the Giants try to salvage their season early on as they head off to Philadelphia. Who wants to go first?
I thought you said Steve would.
After Steve. Decide that right now as I
I'll
tell
go
you
first.
Steve's. Okay, so
go Steve, me, Danny.
All right, so Steve, he goes.
Hold on. I don't know. I don't want to know Steve's prediction.
Why? Because we don't want. You want a chance of there being any ties?
Yeah, it could influence our decision.
All right, then you know what? Fine. I'll go first, then Danny, then we'll give Steve's prediction.
Fine.
All right, so starting it off with Giants and the Eagles. Because the Giants' offense has looked as bad as it has the last couple of weeks, I think they finally snap out of it. The Giants pick up their first win of the year. They're going to do it by the narrowest of margins. The Giants come away with a field goal victory. I take the Giants by 3. They finally get off the schneid.
Narrowest margin would be by 2 if you have the balls to do that, but you don't.
No, the narrowest margin is 1.
Shut up, Jeff. God damn it. Right. My turn.
Go ahead.
I agree with Matt. The Giants offense will get out of its schneid, but I think Carson Wentz is playing really good right now, and I think he could sneak the ball by the Giants' great defense. I think the Eagles will win this game. I think they will win by 6 points. I think if they get 2 field goals, the Giants might come up short. Eagles win by 6.
And Steve, he only gave me the point differential. He says Giants
by three. So there.
What a great analysis, Steve. Next game.
Turn down for what?
Second game up is the Jets as they host Miami.
Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, it's gonna be that kind of week.
What can he do?
I can't believe I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna regret it. Actually, no, I'm not. Miami's gonna get the win here. The Jets have looked absolutely abominable. Originally, I was gonna pick the Jets, but upon further inspection and realizing, wait a minute, stupid, what the hell are you doing? As much as I want to pick the Jets, it's not gonna happen this week. The Dolphins have played good football the last couple of weeks. Well, the one game they played because they were off week one because of the storm. But the Dolphins came away with a narrow win over the Chargers. The Jets have gotten their rear ends handed to them the last couple of weeks. Jay Ajayi's going to destroy them again. Dolphins win it by a touchdown.
Let Steve go.
All right. Since you're the one making all the decisions here, Dan. He goes. Matt, what did you say again, just to make sure?
I said Dolphins by a touchdown.
All right, so that is seven then, right?
Yes.
All right, so
yes.
Dolphins by seven.
Yeah.
Steve goes Dolphins by 13. Does Dan think the Dolphins will score more than 13?
To give the great quote from that Asian news reporter from South Park, Dolphin!
By how much?
I said 10 points. Next game, Jeff.
Turn down for what?
So here come the randomizer games.
Oh, here we go.
First one up. We have the Bills again.
Oh, god damn it, man.
As they host your favorite team, Dan, Denver.
Those bastards. And let me just say this quickly, all right? Because I think we're all going to pick Denver in this one. By the way, I'm really hoping we get Browns versus Colts because that could be one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
All right, tough prediction for this.
What's the game again?
Denver and Buffalo.
Buffalo, I have no idea what the hell they're doing. I haven't seen them score a touchdown at all this year.
Oh, they scored against the Jets at least three times.
Like I said, I haven't seen them score a touchdown all year. So, I say Broncos by 17.
You want to hear Steve's guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he goes, he also picks Denver, but 10 less points, so that means Broncos by 7.
And it's going to be...
Really thinks? Wow.
It's not going to be that close. If Denver just did what they did to Dallas last week, it's not going to end well for the Buffalo Bills. I'm going Denver by 21.
Ooh, Matt.
Next game.
Matt is getting very gutsy with that one.
I said next game.
Okay, well, I had to finish what I was saying. So, yes!
Turn down for what?
All right, so here we go. The next game up.
Browns.
We have Minnesota hosting Tampa Bay.
Ooh.
That's going to be good. That's going to be a good football game. Lost my train of thought here. I'll go first. I'm just going to find the prediction I originally made. I try to keep things coordinated. Go ahead, Danny.
Right now, we don't know the status of Sam Bradford's injury. If Sam Bradford was healthy, this game would have been a lot more difficult to pick. But because Sam Bradford is hurt and not 100%, I have to pick the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers are going to be a sleeper team this year. Steve mentioned how the Buccaneers last year were going to be a sleeper. I think they're going to be better. It took them a while to get the clicking because they had a week one bye. So I think the Buccaneers win by 7 points, a.k.a. a touchdown.
All right, Matt, hurry up.
I agree. Tampa Bay is going to be good. Minnesota's going to keep it close for a while, but Tampa Bay ends up pulling away with it. I go Bucks by 10.
And to round this off, Steve picks the Bucks as well, but by 4.
All right.
Another close game prediction by Steve.
Next game.
Turn down for what?
And here we go. We have Cincinnati going to... Cincinnati going to Green Bay.
Holy
You shit. Just made the list!
Oh, this is going to be an easy one. Jordy Nelson or not, it's not going to matter. Packers get the win. Packers win it by 21.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Steve says Packers by 17. And Dan?
He's crying.
Why are you crying?
It's the massacre.
How bad? How bad?
Oh,
110.
Let me just compose myself.
We don't have that much time to compose, so.
Packers by 30. Shut it down.
We have more games.
No. We got one more game, Dan.
Sorry.
Yeah, shut my brain down.
Sorry. I'm just going to get ready for the funeral, but.
Say it.
Next game.
Turn down for what?
And our final game.
Give me the Browns.
We have Danny's other favorite team, the High Chief Snyders. Hosting the Oakland Raiders.
Washington and the Raiders.
That's Sunday Night Football.
It certainly is. And Steve's prediction is Raiders win by 7.
All right. Yeah. I'll go Oakland by 10.
Of course. Well, here's the thing with this game. The Redskins, they're weird right now because I thought they would be decent, but they look like to be on the decline right now. The Raiders, everyone knows they're going to be one of the top contenders for the title this year. If the Redskins play like they did last year, I would say the game would be much closer. But due to the fact that the Redskins, like I said, have no idea what the hell they are. I will say the Raiders win.
There goes his brain.
I'll say the Raiders by 17 points. That's a bold prediction, Cotton. But at the same time, the game, the Raiders can just break out and just kick ass.
And do more dancing on the sideline, right?
Yes, and maybe Marshall Lynch will dress up as a Native American. That will definitely be one of the greatest things I've seen anything in life, all right? And we've seen a lot of crap in our life. So, Jeff, with that being said, shut it down.
Turn down for what?
All right, so even though the Browns were not involved, they were actually in one of my sets here of random picks from the randomizer.
So why didn't you pick them?
Because it wasn't the set that was chosen. I always go with the last set. So this week was week 3, so I went with set 3.
All right.
The first set had the Browns.
Ah. You could have had it, Danny. If Jeff had gone with the third set, you would have had it.
I always go with the last set, which is always set to the number of the week it is in football.
So next week will be set 4.
4, yes.
All right.
All right, so just give me a number of what you think would be that game.
What, for week 4?
No, for Browns and Colts.
Browns by 50.
Matt, finish it off.
Browns and Colts?
Yes.
Colts by 14.
There you have it. Matt, it's all yours.
And on that note, we have run out of time for this episode of the show. I'd like to remind everybody again that you can follow us on various forms of social media. Facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports. Twitter at @S_S_Sports. Or use the hashtag SollySteve. Either way works. At both the Facebook and Twitter pages, you can get all your updates on the sports world. Not just the NFL, but MLB, NHL, NBA, all of it. You also get all your updates on this very show. And since we are an interactive program, you can ask us questions. We will be more than happy to answer them each and every week right here on the show. We've got our sports blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes of the show are on iTunes, and every single piece of audio we've ever gotten can be found on SoundCloud. All you gotta do is search Solly and Steve on Sports and hit download. You can take us with you wherever you go. And if you have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever that you don't want to leave on social media, find by us. Email us, SollySteveOnSports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Danny and Jeff, I'm Solly. We'll be back same time, same place next week. See ya.